Fab Lab Podcast, Episode 10, the best book on small business management ever.
Welcome to the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. If you own or manage a stone shop and would like to reduce your frustration while increasing your profits, you've come to the right place. As the owner of a prominent Pacific Northwest stone shop with over two decades of experience and the author of the book Less Chaos, More Cash, our host knows more than just a little bit about the challenges of owning and operating a shop. You'll hear down-to-earth, real-life solutions you can implement today to calm your shop operation and generate more profit. Thanks for joining us, and here's our host, Aaron Crowley.
Welcome back to the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. I am your host, Aaron Crowley, and I'm so glad that you're here for Episode 10. What a milestone. When I recorded the first episode, I wondered, is anybody actually ever going to listen to this podcast? And holy cow, the downloads continue to grow. It's so exciting, and I am so glad that you're with me today on this 10th episode as I discuss the best book on small business management ever written. But before we get to that, I want to talk about my book, Less Chaos, More Cash, and just let you know that now you can go to FabricatorsFriend.com on the book page and you can download the first three chapters for free. The first three chapters of Less Chaos, More Cash. Give us your email address. We'll send you a copy of those first three chapters as well as the option to download the audio in a MP3 format so you can listen to it. So I hope you'll do that. But back to the subject of this episode, the best book on small business management ever written is The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. I was given a copy of this book about a year after I went into business for myself. I think I had a part-time employee, and I was just about to hire my second employee. A fellow business owner gave me this book, and I devoured it in about a day. I just could not put this book down. And the great thing about that time in my business life, I hadn't been in business long enough to really form any hard and fast ideas about running a business. I felt so, oh boy, I felt so inadequate for the task. I was hungry and just looking for anything that would help me be successful. And so I read that book at a critical time. And I would say 20 years later, no other influence has more profoundly shaped my understanding of small business, my belief about myself as an owner, and my belief about my employees and how to go about the work of inviting employees into the process of running a company. So to this day, 20 years later, the concepts in this book still have an influence. They still have, they still are a factor in how I run my companies. And so today I want to look at three different aspects of this book that I think you will find very insightful, very useful, and very profound. The three areas are the franchise prototype. That's number one. The second is this idea of the split personality of business owners. And the third is the hotel story. So the first area of this book, the franchise prototype, Michael Gerber goes into great detail assessing the state of small business in America and comparing it to the state of the franchise business model. So you own or manage a stone shop, so you know how difficult it is to run a successful small business. Michael Gerber goes into the statistical comparisons between the failure rate of small businesses and the success rate of franchises. And you come to this conclusion that you just can't escape. There is something to the franchise business model that small business owners need to hear, that they need to understand and put to work in their businesses so that that failure rate can be, avoided. And so Michael Gerber then tells the story of probably the most famous, the most obvious example of franchise success, the McDonald's Corporation. Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, bought this hamburger stand from a couple of brothers down in California with the idea that he wouldn't buy the hamburger stand and then go to work in it making hamburgers like the original owners. He bought that business with the idea that he could sell 5,000 of those McDonald's hamburger stands, and he would sell them to everyday average people who were looking for an above average return on their investment, people looking for retirement, people looking for a successful business to buy. He would sell them a McDonald's franchise that if they followed the process, if they followed the steps that they were taught, that hamburger stand would produce above average sales growth and above average profitability. And most importantly, it would produce that without the owner of the franchise having to be involved in the day-to-day operation of the business. What a concept. And we see in the statistics to this day that, I don't know, there's 25, 30,000 McDonald's now, you know, 50, 60 years after the corporation was founded, and they continue to deliver just that, above average sales growth and above average profitability. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. You generally don't see the owner of the McDonald's down there taking the order, down there flipping burgers, and down there managing a bunch of teenagers who are doing that work. The franchise model works. It's successful, and it doesn't require the owner's involvement to be successful. All they have to do is follow the plan. So if you listen to the episode, I talked about the map to full potential, and I defined my idea of what success in small business is. Success in small business is owning a company that is consistently profitable, can keep the promise made to the customer with an ever-decreasing reliance on the owner's direct involvement on a day-to-day basis. That idea, that definition of success for me came directly out of this franchise prototype concept. And I do believe that it is the basis for success, long-term continued success in small business. Now, the key point here, you got to understand, Ray Kroc could not afford to be at 5,000 different franchises around the country to make sure that they were successful. So the underlying idea is that there has to be something there to replace the owner's direct involvement. That is the systems and the processes and the forms with which, when they're followed, produces that successful outcome. And so that's the first aspect of this book that I think is so profound. This principle of building a business with the idea that even if it was duplicated, even if it was replicated, it would still be successful in the absence of the owner. It's so important. So the second area of this book that I found so compelling and quite frankly so fascinating was Michael Gerber's insight into the personality or the split personalities of every small business owner. He describes three different personality traits: the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician. Now, the entrepreneur is the one who dreams up the idea, who sees the opportunity, creates the solution, and then encourages, inspires, and in some cases drags along everybody else in the pursuit of that business idea. That's the entrepreneur's role. Now, the role of the manager is to keep track of all the information, to make sure that all the details are organized, to make sure all the accounting and all of the administration is taken care of, and so that everybody knows what to do and when to do it, so the critical task of keeping the promise made to the customer is achieved. The third personality type in every business owner is the technician, the one who does the work, the one who gets the job done, the one who is concerned with the technical aspects of templating the job, cutting the job, fabricating the job, installing the job, all of the equipment necessary to do that job. That's the technician's role. He is concerned with getting the job done. The problem, though, with this personality sort of reality is that those individual personality traits are not evenly distributed. They're not equally present in every small business owner. Michael Gerber says that this is the breakdown. It's about 10% entrepreneur, 20% manager, and about 70% technician, which is to say that the typical... I'm sorry, that was a rooster crowing outside my window here on the farm. Sorry about that. So the problem with that breakdown in the personality of the business owner is twofold. One, because the owner gets so caught up in doing the work, that critical work of the entrepreneur and the critical work of the manager doesn't get done. And so the company can't grow beyond that. The other problem with that is that while the owner is doing it, the company becomes dependent upon the owner doing it. And if the owner is required to do the work inside the business, the owner can't escape the business. And that is the problem. Until the owner becomes more entrepreneurial minded, until the owner becomes more managerial minded, they cannot escape that. And the business continues to depend upon them to be there. So the owner can never leave. The third part of this book that I found so compelling and so influential was what I like to call the hotel story. Michael Gerber tells this story of returning from a business trip. He's driving through Northern California. He's exhausted. He's tired. He pulls off in the Redwoods and comes across this hotel. So he checks in and turns out he has the most amazing hotel. Quite frankly, it's the most amazing business experience he's ever had. Everything works, from the check-in to the dinner to his room to the newspaper that he loves to read slid under the door first thing in the morning to the coffee being on a timer for him when he wakes up the next morning. He's so amazed by the experience that he has at this hotel. Upon checkout, he asks to speak to the manager or the owner. And what he finds is a young man who's been hired to run this hotel who never had any hotel experience prior to coming to work for the owner. So he is ushered into the office. He sits down with the manager, and the manager begins to tell him how the hotel works. He hears the story. The owner built the hotel with the idea that he would hire a manager to come in and run the systems so that the owner could take off and go do whatever it was he was born to do while the hotel continued to run and continued to produce an income stream for him, kind of like the McDonald's franchise prototype, if you will. So the manager describes this checklist card system that every employee that comes into work every day gets these checklists for every task that they are responsible for, and they proceed to follow those checklists, checking off the individual aspects of them as they go. And at the end of their shift, they turn those checklists back into the manager, thus ensuring A, that everybody knows what to do and when, and B, that there is accountability through the manager's oversight of those checklists. If you've listened to the first three podcasts on the Fab Lab, you'll know that we talk about checklists and how important they are. Once again, that checklist concept came directly out of this hotel story. I don't even know if it's a true story or not. It might just be a parable of sorts to make the point. But the point is that checklists work. And not to mention, it's just a great story. It's funny, it's enjoyable, and it creates a vision, a picture of the future of what is possible when we as owners take ourselves out of the technician mode, place ourselves in that entrepreneurial and manager mode, and begin to craft and build and develop our businesses with the idea that we can hire people to do work in the company, the technical work of the company, so that the promise made to the customer is kept even in our absence. So those are the three, you know, parts of this book that I found so important: the franchise prototype, the split personality of the typical small business owner, the entrepreneur, the manager, and the technician, and finally, the hotel story. Now, I kind of started this podcast with the idea that if I did a good enough job describing the highlights of the book, you wouldn't have to go buy it. But in reality, you should buy this book. If you have not read Michael Gerber's E-Myth Revisited, you're missing out. You got to go buy a copy of this book and read it. And you need to make sure you check back in next week for part two of this series on the E-Myth Revisited, because I'm going to talk about another subject found in this book called The Problem with People Dependency, and why it is so critical to have systems and procedures and processes in place that your people are following instead of relying entirely on rock star performers. So until then, have a great week fabricating. Like I said at the beginning, make sure you check in at fabricatorsfriend.com and download the first three chapters of my book, Less Chaos, More Cash. And until then, happy fabricating.